Dear royal priesthood of God, those called to speak his testimonies before kings, those who will not be put to shame, grace to you from our Savior. God's word for our deeper consideration this morning, the gospel we just heard, but I reread verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace to this earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. When professional fighters are getting ready for a match, they have a complete change in their demeanor. The great challenge has presented itself, so they hunker down and get ready for the fight as best they can, often distancing themselves from friends, family, loved ones, even the comforts of modern life. Think of Rocky Balboa as he goes to the Siberian mountains as he gets ready to face Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. A laughing and fun-natured person suddenly becomes straight-faced. An engaging person suddenly doesn't listen to what's being said anymore because he's focused on the fight and what is to come. Because when somebody's properly prepared for a fight and they come up against somebody who's not prepared really at all, there's no competition. In fact, the defeat can be so bad that it is shameful. So trainers actually work on training plans with that purpose, to shame the opponent. And honestly, that is the way that the enemies of Christ are preparing for Christians. They prepare their mumbo-jumbo and their scientism, their belief in science in an unscientific way, to come after Christians who prepare only a little bit for a fight. When we prepare for our Christian walk, we spend a lot of time on the lessons that we heard last week of forgive 70 times 7 times, or when Jesus says, turn the other cheek, which are good. Yes, we need those. Those are the words of Jesus, so let us prepare that way. But when we only prepare that way, the enemies start to see us with a different name. In fact, they see the word target on us. They can see us as all meek and mild manner, soft-spoken, easy targets, prey. And sometimes they're right. Sometimes we get so caught up in being nice and unnoticed that we become easy prey. We forget the other words of Jesus, like he says in Luke, let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. Or like he says here today, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus is clear here that there is a fight ahead for his followers, metaphorical and literal. And we need to prepare for the fight. This section of Matthew is where Jesus sends his disciples out to proclaim the message that the kingdom of heaven is near. And in the same section, he tells them that I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. there are going to be enemies for the 12 that they're going to encounter. Enemies of the men and of the message that they will be proclaiming. And as they stand before these wolves, the wolves are not going to play nice. The powers of hell and earth were combining to have a smorgasbord of problems for these men. Sickness, arguments, demons, even death. There would be those who would simply shout from the crowd the things that they didn't like, and there would be those who would throw stones. The hostility would be found in the towns and in the homes that they would visit on this mission. In all of the list of the bad things that they were told they would find, the disciples were also told to remember something. Don't fear those who can only physically hurt you. Remember, God destroys both body and soul in hell. Why is this happening here? Why does Jesus talk about all this bad stuff before sending them out with a really cool message? Why does the fighter disengage from his friends and family when he is preparing? Because he's thinking about what he's going to have to go through to get to the end. Yes, he envisions himself winning the conflict in the end, but there's going to be a lot of pain and punches along the way. So Jesus sends his disciples out with a real expectation. The kingdom of heaven is near, the Savior is among you, but there's going to be a fight. He doesn't want to send them out with some message that isn't true, like a prosperity message. Just because you believe everything is going to be great, that's not true. There's an amazing message of forgiveness and love, but they are going to a crowd that is not going to want to hear that message. They're not going to simply throw out their old way of life and join them, because the gospel in its message is so opposite of what they have been told. The lure of the world has pulled many away, so that the gospel is not what they want to hear. They will rebel against it. So if the disciples didn't know about the troubles, and if they weren't convinced of the fight that was coming, they wouldn't get ready. They wouldn't be prepared for what was ahead of them. They needed to have their convictions sure before going out to confess. Strong convictions bring about true confessions. Now, when I say confession here, I don't mean that small booth that we sometimes see in cathedrals. Nor do I mean that oh so important part of our worship at the beginning where we confess our sins and receive absolution. Confession here means that thing that we say which we know to be most certainly true. And we have all kinds of confessions this way. We have all of these convictions that we know are absolutely right. From the kind of vehicle that we drive, to which branch of the military is the best, to which kind of beverages we drink. We even have strong convictions and confessions about things that are purely entertainment. I sure hope Pastor Fisher isn't a Bears fan. It's an interesting thought there, isn't it? We can have these convictions and confessions that we proclaim in our affiliations on things that really don't matter. But when it comes to our faith confession, maybe we're a little quieter. And when we're quieter, suddenly our faith becomes something of convenience rather than conviction. Oh, worship is a fine thing to do for an hour on the day that I go, but no more than an hour, and certainly not an hour and a half. It's no big deal if I skip a week or two either. No, not important. And I don't need to attend that Bible study in between services. Fellowship with other Christians centered on God's Word, not important. I got a Bible at home. Really? Not important? Jesus spoke about where the enemies of God could be found. He said in the houses and in the towns that they would visit. But then he said, whoever loves his father or mother or son or daughter more than me. Whoever loves more than me. The enemy of God can be found right in our own very heart. That little bit of information right there takes the idea of not centering our life and our confession on God's Word, and it makes it unthinkable to put limitations on the time that we're going to spend worshiping, to discard the Word of God as not important, the fellowship with Christians as we build each other up, to say that that's not important. That is unthinkable when you know the enemy is within you. How important it is to prepare for that fight. And I use the word fight very specifically because, dear Christians, you are in a fight, not just for your lives, but for eternity. Through your birth, you were born into a world that was the enemy camp, something at war with God and His ways. And yet, through God's pure grace, through baptism, you were brought into the family of God, where your sinful nature was drowned. But right at the last second, that jerk learned how to swim. So now there lives within you a sinful nature that's pulling you back to old ways, and a new man seeking earnestly to follow God. It's hard to envision, but every baby that is baptized there is baptized into the army of Christ. Warriors against our sinful natures and the world around us. So you might have a saying where, I'm a quiet person, I'm a lover, I'm not a fighter. No! You are a fighter! You are a warrior for Christ in this world. You have to get in this fight. And if you don't prepare for it, you will be completely overwhelmed. And the enemy will have victory in your heart. Now that is the law. Don't love anything more than Jesus. We have a nature that wants that, and we have to fight it. But here comes the gospel. We have a Savior who conquered the enemy. Jesus, in His life, death, and resurrection, He overcame the power of sin that is death so that we could see life in Him. Jesus came and earned peace for us. What a peace with God. He gave us a hope for the future and the promise of eternity in His home. In His work, Jesus did more for us than anything on earth or in our hearts could ever do. So therein is the power for the fight. Jesus gives us his promises in his words that he is with us so that we can see what it is that we have. We are truly saved. We are truly alive in him. Unafraid of death because we are members of his family. That spiritual peace that we have, that conviction of our status with God, puts us at odds with our sinful nature and the world. So we have peace on one side, but turmoil on the other. We have loved ones who have weak convictions, who might fall in the fight. We have acquaintances who've never heard the gospel and don't know any kind of hope or peace. Or maybe we have children who make the same sinful mistakes that we did in our youth. And so we get in the ring. We get into the fight. Our true confession, or true convictions, lead to true confessions. Jesus saved you and he saved your family and your friends. So we show them that we love them by fighting for them, telling them about sin and grace. And we show Jesus that we love him by fighting. Fighting to hold on to his word and his truth by making it the center of our lives. Making our connection to his word one that is an attitude of, I have peace in heaven with God. And by God, nothing will separate me from that. Not my sinful nature that's going to pull me in directions I don't want to go. That's going to make me want to gossip and see the worst in people. Not this world around me that's going to try and distract me with treasures and pleasures and things that go against his teaching. And not even a church shopping mentality that I look for a message that I want to hear that makes me feel good. Corrupt teachings that water down the truths of what Jesus has done and the seriousness of it. That attitude is really what the celebration of the Augsburg Confession is. On June 25th in the year 1530, for 2.5 hours, the defenders of the faith stood before Emperor Charles V of the Holy Roman Empire, and they confessed their true conviction in God's word. They stood before the man who could have lifted a finger and had every one of them executed. Now, Luther wasn't there because he was already under that order if he'd even showed up. But these men were so convicted of what Scripture said, they stood before Charles and said that he was wrong. They were convicted of the salvation that they had that was taught in the Scriptures. They were so convicted in that they stood up and they wouldn't let a minor thing like execution get in the way of proclaiming Christ's amazing message. There's a really great article in the July edition of Forward in Christ on the early Lutheran martyrs. I highly recommend that you read that. The situation at the Diet of Augsburg was that the greatest opponent of Dr. Luther, a man named Dr. Eck, accused Luther and his followers of heresy. So those men unleashed the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God, on Dr. Eck and his ilk. Through their preparation for the fight, Philip Melanchthon and the Dukes prepared a confession covering the basics of doctrine of the Christian faith, proclaiming Christ's message for the world. And those articles are on God, original sin, the Son of God, the use of the sacraments, and many more. 28 articles of faith in total. Their work in proclaiming this message in the fight was because of their conviction of this article that I will read for you in total, the fourth article of justification. Also they, that is our Lutheran churches, teach that men cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who by his death made satisfaction for our sins. This faith God imputes for us as righteousness in his sight. See Romans chapters 3 and 4. Such a beautiful and clear statement of salvation by grace alone, from Christ alone, through faith alone. This is the heritage of the Lutheran Confession, nothing less than God's Word. Christ-centered, a gift from the Holy Spirit to the believers in Jesus. This is the sword that Jesus brought to this earth. And yes, it brings divisions. Yes, it makes some conversations awkward and uncomfortable. And yes, we will be mocked and there will be enemies. But this sword, the Word of God, may all Christians live and die by and with this sword, so that we will be fully ready when it is our turn to get in the ring and fight. We fight against the powers of this world because, and our own sinful nature because of our conviction. Christ comes to us in his means of grace to fortify us for this fight, to strengthen us. And you know what? Even though I'm really fired up at this moment, we don't have to get worked up over it. We don't need to be scared or anxious or worried. We need to be prepared. That means we spend time in contact with the Word. We come to his Holy Supper. We are reminded of our grace in his baptism. But this fight that we enter, it isn't ours. Luther said it so great in his hymn, "He," that is Jesus, "holds the field forever." Jesus has won. He sits in heaven watching with an expectant eye as we walk out of these doors into the mission field, ready to proclaim his death and resurrection as we've come to know it in his Word. His message, his Word will do what it's supposed to do, as we heard in the Old Testament from Isaiah. And we get the promise from Jesus that when we acknowledge him before men, he will acknowledge us. The image that I have in my head goes like this. We walk through the gates of heaven in awe. The beauty overtakes us so that there's almost a tear in our eye, and we see a figure running towards us. And he wraps his arms around us in the hug that we never knew we needed so badly. And he looks at us and says, "You're here. You made it." Looking over his shoulder, he says, "Dad, come here. There's someone I got to introduce you to. This is one of them." Jesus is truly excited to proclaim you to his Father. You who are one of his fighters, who has true conviction and true confession of God's Word. My friends, moments like these are meant to be encouraging, to be motivating. This confession that you have as a Lutheran is a big thing. It's a confession of Christ crucified and resurrected for sinners. It's a message that changes hearts and indeed the world. It is your message to proclaim. Don't be surprised when there's opposition, but don't back down. Your Savior has won. So the life that you lose here is nothing compared to the life that is yours, won by Him. So prepare for the fight. You are not prey. Get ready so that, like the disciples and the confessors that have come before us, you too can get in the ring and unleash the sword of the Word of God. Amen.